Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10, he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Praise the Lord. Please take your seat. This is the first Sunday of the year. We are going to talk about building your life in 2026. Praise the Lord. Building your life in 2026. This whole chapter, Paul is talking about how he's fed the church with milk, how he's shepherded the church, and the fact that they are not carnal, but there are also divisions in the church. Some say they belong to Paul, others say they belong to Apollos. But Paul said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And the one who planted is not important. The one who watered is also not important. The only time they are important is because you are refusing to grow. Immaturity is what makes you to fixate on man instead of God. It's a baby-like behavior to see a man of God as your God, or anyone as your God. That's why you are saying, "I belong to Paul," and some are saying, "I belong to Apollos." And Apollos was a very eloquent man, very sharp communicator. But Paul said that he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. So Paul is saying that for all of us who are working in the kingdom, we are co-laborers. We are one, no matter your function. One function is no more important than the other. Because the one who builds, he says, is one with the one who waters. Just imagine a field in northern region without irrigation. Maybe in southern Ghana, you can plant and go and sleep, and you expect that the plant will do well because our temperature is not too harsh. But when you go to the arid regions, where water is of great necessity and they depend on proper dependence on rain-fed agriculture, you will see the need to irrigate when you plant, so that you will not say that the planter is more important than the, if you like, the irrigator, because all your labor will go to waste without the irrigation or without water for your plant. So he says that if the one watering to is watering on empty field without planting, it's also a waste. So both of them are important. Why? Because they have one purpose, is to gain a harvest. He says when our purposes come together as one, then God himself becomes the one who gives us the increase. So I planted, Apollos watered, but God brought the what? Increase. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody in the ministry, when we come to one purpose, God will bring the increase. In your marriage, tell somebody in your marriage, when you come to one purpose, God will bring the increase. In your business, in every area of your life, once you come to one purpose in God, there shall be increase. So Paul now begins to talk to them about the fact that we are God's building. and he said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So Paul is saying that the grace of God has given him the ability to be not just a master builder, but a wise one. A wise master builder is different from a master builder. Many people can build great things, but not all of them are wise in how they turn out great things. And he's saying that invariably the wise master builder is one who is dependent on the grace of God. You are not just building for building's sake or because you have ability to build. He says that according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So the foundation of my wisdom is the grace of God. And the grace of God is what is making me a wise master builder. He goes on to say that the grace of God helped him to lay the foundation of the church, of the building for God. When you have grace of God, or you appreciate the grace of God, you understand that the way you build, it should be different from the way the world builds. And so he says that, I have laid the foundation, another builded thereon. He is very sure that the foundation he laid was laid in grace. Anyone that wants to build, he says, take heed how you build upon the foundation that has been laid in grace. So, as a child of God, you have started a new year. We have to take heed how we build. Apostle Paul is telling us that for people who carry grace, they still have to take heed how they build. I think that over time, I met a lady in my office some time ago, and the lady was talking to me. She used to attend a particular church, and they were into a lot of immorality. And when she came here and met with me, and I was conversing with her and then saying that you are building your relationship with God here and there, you don't need to get into this and that and that and that. She now told me that those things that I was telling her not to get into, that is how they used to call those things grace from where she was coming from. They were sleeping among themselves, and their pastor was teaching them that that is grace, and it's grace upon grace, peace of mind. So that is not grace. Praise the Lord. So our generation, some people think once you mention grace, they just begin to think it's equal to recklessness, carelessness, foolishness. Anything that is not well coordinated doesn't make sense. We just cover it under grace. But grace is way, way more than that. Praise the Lord. Grace, we are saved by grace. That means that grace is able to swallow our recklessness and foolishness when we were not in Christ, to bring us into Christ. But in Christ, we cannot continue in sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. So that grace will abound. In fact, Paul talks about the fact that some people frustrate the grace of God. So all of that, when you put it together, you find out that grace has the lifestyle of the spirit of life in Romans chapter 8 verse 1. The law of the spirit. So it has its own set of rules, laws, principles for it to multiply in the life of a believer. But that's all we're talking about today. I said that to make the point that once we talk about grace, our minds in this generation shift to recklessness, lack of responsibility, lack of diligence, and we leave things to chance. But throughout the epistles, you'll find out that any time or most of the time when Paul was talking about grace, he was directly connecting it to laboring. I am who I am because of the grace of God. However, I labor more, I pray more. The grace of God causes me to labor. So grace does not mean reckless living. Grace does not mean lack of planning. Grace does not mean don't pray. Grace does not mean leave everything and the wind of God will come and do. Grace actually means that you are in a realm where work is acknowledged, but with a greater effect because of the grace. Praise the Lord. In the grace zone, prayer gets more effect. Work has more effect in terms of its results. But the mindset when we say grace must totally shift. Praise the Lord. If you look at Jesus, who is the person of grace, if you look at the way he lived his life working so hard, waking up very early, sleeping very late, praying. I mean, everything our generation is calling grace is so different from how Jesus lived his life. And so when we talk about grace, we have to mimic the life of Jesus. We have to emulate the life of Jesus. Is the preaching going fine? So in this year, for us to be master builders of the life that Christ has given us, we have to rely or depend on the grace of God. The grace is what will make us wise in building. So Paul says that anyone who is building on the foundation that God has given, building on the life that God has given. You see, this life that we have been given is the potential of God in us. And so in building, you will actualize or you will bring to manifestation all the capabilities, all the things that this potential of God life in you can bring on the face of the earth. Are you here with me at all? So the bread in the flour will not come out until something happens to the flour. But you are giving the flour. You have to take the flour through a process. Is the illustration okay? Take it through a process. If you want to have bread, there's a process you take the flour through. But what you were really giving was a flour. That's the life of God in you. If you want sweet bad, there's a process to... The process you take the flour through to get bread is different from the process you take the flour through to get achomo, or the process you take the flour through to get cake. It's different from. So that is why you need the grace of God to make you wise, so that on the platform or the foundation of grace, when you want to get, let's say, bread is marriage, the wisdom of God will show you how to get it. By grace, process. Are you here? Are you sure you are here? You got to talk to me, baby. Tell somebody you got to respond to pastor. If you want to get isampampa from the flower, the process is also different. It takes the wisdom that comes by grace. Oh, you don't know people make porridge from flour? Well done for where you were born. If you want to, you know, do granite or, you know, chicken, then they put the flour around it and do it. Then children like it, but they like the cover of it and all of that. The process is different. Some people are well versed in making a cake, but they are not well versed in making maybe a rock band or a croissant. My wife and I traveled to Paris, and she said, Kai, once we have landed in Paris, she must eat that thing you mentioned. Croissant. I said, what is it? She was on my case. And then we eventually entered into a restaurant, and then she ordered it. I said, it's bread or beefroot that they have just tweaked it here and there. There is nothing special about this. And what? It didn't hear me down as a saying. Mohajion. Some are well vexed in some of the product that come from the flour, and they don't have the competence or the grace for maybe a ring donut, all those other things. Are you with me at all? That is why you need the grace of God. The grace of God will make you wise in becoming a master builder. That is, you can build different things because the grace of God gives you that wisdom, gives you that foundation to be able to develop the different things that have been put on the table of redemption for you for the year 2026. If you have to build on your relationships, the grace of God makes you a master builder there. What are the rules, the processes, and the principles that one would have to uphold in building a sustainable relationship, in building a sustainable career, in building a sustainable home, in building a sustainable financial life, in building a sustainable ministry? Are you here? It is from the wisdom of God. It's from where? You have to talk to me. Where is it from? The wisdom of God makes you a master builder in building your health. God, the blessings can make you eat your health away. I want to punish poverty. Then you eat your way into your grave. But the grace of God, are you here with me at all? So the grace does not mean live a reckless life. But the grace gives you wisdom to build competence in different areas that will make you actualize the plan of God for your life. And let me also say that because of that, Paul said that, take heed, everyone, anyone, but let everyone, say, Paul is talking about every man. Every man should be careful how he buildeth thereupon. Be careful. Can we read the ESV? Be careful how you build your life. ESV says that. And someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon the foundation of the life that you have been given in 2026. Nobody can build your life for you. Each man is required to build. Each one is required to build their own lives. Somebody can pay your school fees, but cannot learn for you. You are required to do the learning. The hard lifting is your responsibility. Are you here with me at all? Come on now. Are you sure you are here? The hard lifting is your responsibility. I can give you a husband. I can give you a wife. God gave Adam and Eve the garden. Now he told them, he said, dress it and keep it. I'm not going to dress and keep it for you. You dress it and keep it. If you need rain, I'll bring you rain. I've even given you water to water the whole garden. Dress it and keep it. You can be given a garden. And any foolish person can be given a garden, like Adam and Eve. The fact that you have been given life, it does not mean you are wise. Your wisdom is in how you manage what you have been given, the garden you have been given. So all of us, we are here in 2026. It's neither here nor there. Are you wise? Is that why you are in 2026? No. Are you foolish? Is that why you are in 2020 or absent? No. It's a chance for every one of us. Time and chance. But this garden that you have been given has the potential to feed you, to keep you, to cover you, to make you everything God has called you to be. How you dress and keep the garden is what determines your sustainability in life, your wisdom in life. Now, everyone knows that Adam was a foolish man because he couldn't simple. That's, we can confirm your foolishness by the way you handle your life that God has given you. Nobody can say you are foolish. But when we see the way you are handling your life, we can confirm your wisdom or your foolishness just by the way you handle this sole proprietorship of your life. How are you handling your, or how you handle your life is a testament to your wisdom, to your what? And so if you are wise, we have to see it in how you go about your life. If you are foolish too, it will show. And how you go. So he said, each one, every man, I'm a pastor, angels will not build my life for me. I have to build it. You are also a church member. Angels will not build for you. You have to build it. But he said, when you are building, take heed. Be careful how you build, because you can't put a wood at the foundation and think that the building will stand forever. Are you here? Come on now. Are you sure you are here? The materials you build with, the ideas you use in building, the principles that you need to uphold in building if you want the building to last, all of that, the people you build with, the time you build. In our part of the world, you check the seasons before you build. You can't just build anyhow, anytime, and anywhere. Are going to build, you have to check the topography, whether the area is liable to flood. You are buying a land, and once you have started a building, and you have started from a place of liability because you have decided that you will not be a master builder, taking heed how you build. So, praying, planning, and possessing the land are things that should guide your building. Praise the Lord. And so, this year we are going to build our lives. How many of you are going to build your life? Great. Now, when you are building and there is a purpose for the building, it helps you to define or conceptualize the design to be fit for purpose. Is that not so? Are you sure you are here? I want to build this year together with my wife, and we are considering certain variables in building that house. Number one, family size. The first and foremost is even location. Here in Accra, when it drizzles small, then Ebo Noah is coming. So location is key. Number two, what kind of building do we want to build? We are looking at our age in the face of our family, where we are. I am 40-something. Me and my wife, we've all crossed 40. We are in the second half. Any major whistle you hear, it's either extra time or game over. So you have to build according to the half that you find yourself in. My pastor told me some years ago that when you are 50 years and you are building, you have to think about building more comfort at the ground floor than going up, because your mobility will be affected as your age increases. Now, if you don't rely on the grace of God to make you a master builder, you'll be an emotional builder. You are not looking at your demographic characteristics, the phase you find yourself in. So that's one of the things you look at. Are you here? You also, we are looking at our family size. We've got 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. So we are looking at all these things, plus contingency plan and all of that. We don't want a very big house. We also don't want to be in a tight corner. So it has to be the grace of God upon us, or God has given us, to be able to tap into resources that will bring this vision to bear or to pass in the best way without wasting our lives going forward. Praise the Lord. And resources. He told them, I said, go and borrow vessels. He has to give you a functional house. Yes, sir. When you go to some of the traditional towns, you see old family houses. It's Wokukun time. It's free family house. And I have some cancer. And to come on the quarrels near the tutu, cause one more brandy went to me and see small something for yourself as if you are cursed. I've become jaguda. I won't answer there. And I answer, I'm more than one and ten. So that way, you see that we will know me with you. Any bag is inside on a day. But we can't be on a person for all the day attends. May do attempt. May say the grace of God does not mean that waste your life. And whether you carry grace or you carry disgrace, when the rain starts falling, you will need shelter. And the shelter is not just a physical building. What you have built for yourself over time is what will shelter you. Sometimes your shelter is in your cash. Sometimes in your friends or associate or network you have built. Sometimes in the career you have built. Sometimes you take protection in the opportunities and the resources God gives to everyone. The 24-hour resource, the 365 days resource is given to every one of us. Some maximize it, some waste it. I'm praying that this year, you and I, we shall not waste it in Jesus' name. So, when you are building it, you need to have a purpose that transcends yourself. And for a Christian, the first and primary purpose, the foremost purpose, that should cause you to build the life that you have been given, is Christ at the center of that building. What is at the center? You have to build in Christ. You have to build in what? Somebody say, build in Christ. I'm talking about 3 things here. For your life to stand as a Christian, number one, you have to build in Christ. Paul said, I live and move and have my being in Christ. Say in Christ. In Christ simply means that you are living your life in the confines of the principles that are meant to be upheld by a Christian. I mean a proper Christian, not a tongue-talking Christian who doesn't have Christ, not a rosary reciter Christian who doesn't have Christ, Not a church going person who doesn't have Christ. You build a life with the focus on building in Christ. In where? Because there is in Christ and outside Christ. So you build in Christ, that means that you have to be born again. The first building you want to be is to secure eternity in Christ. Be born again, building on Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 to 14, look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, 11, it says that, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So you are building in Christ, you are building on Christ. You are building on who? Who are you building on? You are building your whole life on Christ. When we say you are building in Christ, we mean that you are building your life with Christ as your foundation, Christ as your superstructure, Christ as your roof. Your whole life is built on Christ and nothing else. I was watching chaos in one church or one society, and the leaders came and said that in that particular religious body, they mix African traditional rituals with Christianity. That one is not a church. And if you are there, you are not building your life on Christ. You are building it Christ small, idols small. It's a mixture. It's a petrol and gas, EV car, hybrid. It uses electronics, electricals plus. It's anything. When you put all together, you cannot call yourself a Christian. That one is not Christianity. If you are a Christian, you are building. You cannot build on Christ and be building on demonic akwantrenso. As we are here right now, you are receiving the word. Some of you will still travel and go and do some akwantre. And in your mind, I'm starting the year building with spirituality. You have to define that spirituality. It has to be built on Christ. He said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ himself is your foundation." Let's read this verse in the ESV. It said, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, and the foundation that is laid is Jesus Christ himself." You can't build on Christ when you have a mind that, "Oh, me my missy yebusia no afibia ye jijin tobua, and omudi ya mamre maye wufi, and I also woody akwasi omunya mamre, but woody I won't cop by ye nya mamre no mao." That's not building on Christ. Now, if you really, really, really want the grace of God to work in your life, you will build on Christ as your foundation. Verse 12. It says, "Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw." So you can see that the foundation is Christ. Now he's talking about the resources you have been given to build. Gold, silver, wood, straw, and all of that. Your life itself is a resource. Whether it will be golden, it will be silver, it will be wood, it will be touch. No problem. You have been given the foundation, the resources to build. Are you here with me at all? To build. It says that when you build with all these things, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. That's when the pressure comes, we will see how you have built your financial life. We'll see how you have built your family life. We'll see how you have built your career life. Everybody's building will be passed through fire. It will be passed through what? Whatever life you are building, it will be tested. And when it is tested and it crumbles, it will show your level of wisdom. When it stands, we know that you are a wise master builder. So, look at the next verse. We're going all the way to 14. It says that, 13 says that, each one's work, 14 says that, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. You see, the reward you want here, it's not coming from an angel. It's not coming from even God dropping it from the skies. He's giving you everything that pertains to life and godliness. And your life is your biggest resource. He's giving you everything. He will give you the favor, the people, the resources, and everything. You have to build it. And if you build it well on the proper foundation for it to survive, you will be rewarded. So really, you are the one that rewards yourself with the wisdom that comes from the grace that makes you a wise builder. And if you build, you can build against yourself. We have started the year now. If you are not careful, you will be building against yourself. You will be building for you not to survive the fire or the test of time. You will be building not to survive inflation. That will by all means come because we are in Africa. You will be building not to survive different seasons that will put pressure on your life. So you, first of all, you have to build. And when you build on Christ, it will withstand satanic activities, demonic incursions, satanic plots and plans. So you will start your life by building on Christ. Building on who? Come on now, building on who? And in building on Christ, Christ must be your foundation and Christ must be your focus for yourself, your children, all the people around you. You are built. It should be very clear, evidently clear, that you are building your life on Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible talks about the builder that built on the rock. He said, everyone then, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these things, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. 25, please. And the rain descended. Somebody said the pressure will come. I can't hear you. Tell somebody the pressure will come. Now tell somebody, no matter what you build, the pressure will come. As for the rain is constant, it will come and it must come. He said, this one was a wise builder. He built on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Child of God, please hear this very carefully. If you are in church and the foundation of your life is not Christ, you are lost. If you are in church and the foundation of your life is not Christ, you are racing against the wind. And we need to hear this message over and over and over and over again. Because you can't just hear it one time. Your salvation must be preached to you over and over and over and over again. Your life must be built. People are in church. They are married. Once the baby is not coming now, they are listening to either their mother, mother-in-law, father-in-law, oh, I know somebody here who can help you. And they are talking about a devil of a human being somewhere. Some herbalist who is tapping the wall before giving you the herbs. It's a wizard somewhere. They will take you from Christ into idol worship. You have at this level, you and I, everything we are building, we have to build it on Christ. Build your life on Christ. Not on worldly things, not on people, not on satanic powers, satanic help. All these things are relevant in this life. But Bible says that no other foundation has been laid except that which is laid in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian and you build on Christ, it will end well. It says that when the fire comes, your gold will survive, your silver will survive. Praise the Lord. If you build on Christ, it will survive, and you will be rewarded here and in eternity to come. Build on Christ. Build on what? This thing we are learning is showing you that no matter how blessed this year is, and this year really is a unique year, you will still see fire. You will see rain. You will see pressure. It's a constant in life. But we have been given something more, which is in Christ. We have been given a foundation in Christ. We have been given sustainability in Christ. So that regardless of the fire, we'll still be able to survive with a reward. Praise the Lord. Regardless of whatever challenge in your workplace, in your marriage, they don't matter when you are building on Christ, because what your life will survive. Christ will hold you together. If you are in the keeper's house, your life should be built on what? Christ. Therefore, I hope you are hearing me. The life should be built on Christ. If you are a young lady, build it on Christ. I hear there is a club going on somewhere in Accra here. They call it Rainbow. Some of you know it. Young girls and young guys who have made money meet there. The name of the club, I'm not talking about a clubhouse. So what they go to do, they call it Rainbow Clubbing. How did I know? Yeah, do you saw what we need there? And in that club, the criteria for a young lady to go there, but they pay them a lot, is that you must be in your menses to attend that club. And the boys will do things with you, according to Newton. L.P. Newton says, they will do things with you. Emphasis on what? Things. If you are not in that time of the month as a young lady, you don't have entry permit. Now the boys doing things with you, know that season of your life, you know, is sponsoring their strength in the spirit. Now who we are, where papa, dear sister. The money there, they will give you plenty, because your blood now is what is giving them the money. But you'll be gone. That is why you have to build your life on Christ. But Kubia, you didn't bring me lady, no. Or to ones who are brought from inside. Because they knew I had things. And I will pro. God have mercy. You see, when you are in church and we are preaching, you will think that this thing is so far away from me, until you go under pressure. Oh, mommy, be woo baby. I see you case B. Now I down for B, not down for B. Actually, I will say, oh, who call one? ubenya se ni se ni se ni se ni se se o se we dey men ko wi ade. Build your life on Christ. When you build your life on Christ, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2 says that there shall be no condemnation for you. There shall be what? Satan cannot condemn you. No demon in hell can condemn you. No human being. Said there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Your life is built on Christ, so Satan cannot condemn you to hell. As you are here on earth, because you have Jesus, Satan cannot destroy you here on earth, condemn you to hell, waste your life, nothing like that. You see, the message I'm preaching, Paul said that I came to preach the simple gospel of Christ. It is so simple that it may look foolish to you, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is only foolishness to them who are come 2 days, mama perishing. That's the clock is ticking for you to perish. That's why this preaching on building your life on Christ is looking like it's a foolish preaching. A sign that you are about to expire is foolishness to them who are perishing, about to perish. But it is salvation to us. And the pastor, when preaching message, I am powerful. You know, in the beginning of that, we need some anointing. In Christ, that anointing will come. But if you build on sand, I think we didn't finish reading that scripture in chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Please go back to the scripture. So when you build, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a master builder. We read 25, we read even 26. Can you give me 26? Yeah. And he says that, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So there are only two people in this life. Either you are wise or you are foolish. Wise and foolish. You can make it a product. Wise and not all. Wise and foolish. Some people, they are an amalgamation of the two. You are wise kakra and foolish kakra. Because what the frafra. And I'm telling you, this is where we are getting to. Where those of us standing in the pulpit, we are even introducing you to Afrafra. Afrafra. Christ kakra. Some African traditional ritual kakra. So for to me, jina ono de busuma bobi dia. Then we bring people that sometimes we know that. Sometimes you don't know, you don't know, but you really know that this person, the source is not good, or you are associating tightly with somebody who has sworn to the devil. Who are you deceiving? You are deceiving yourself, and you are also deceiving all the people that are following you, that they can also follow. You preach, but then they say you are saying you are over righteous. Apostle Paul refused to relate with certain people. Even Jesus, any sinner he could not save, we never saw Jesus relating with that person, except the sinners he saved. After 3 years of relating with this occultic pastor, have you saved the person? And I have no doubt that they are using things to bait pastors. Bait pastors. It's a bait.
The fish will never come for the hook until it has seen something it likes. The boys have seen what you like, and they are giving it to you. And you are swallowing it, and they are dangling you. Can be there. Yesterday or 2 days ago, one of our members from the branches I ministered to in April, major breakthrough has come as a result of that ministration. He told me where he used to be, very fine church. The pastor started bringing some prophets left, right, center. Not every prophet is bad, very good prophet, and they're genuine. But he started mixing it up, apples and whatever. Then some of them, after ministering to the members, they don't go. They take the numbers of the members and they start having some relationship with them. So he said, oh, this person, who prophet will call him and then come home and the wife, and then take them and say, bring this seed, bring this material, then and let's go and do a kwanchafwe. They will go to a roundabout. They will do this. It's like every week, you know, there is a demand. And their lives went like that. It is coming to this church that we don't know our country. Hearing the word, serving God, that now he has multi-million contracts, just building his life on Christ, knowing Jesus for himself, working out his own salvation with fear and tremor, honoring God. Did he come imperfect? No. Honoring God. Sister, honor God. Awariana, honor God. It is God who gives marriage. It's Jesus who gives you a good home. Are you here with me at all? It's Jesus. Okay, you can have a husband, but can you check the mental quotient? Perish the thought. Just imagine God giving you a husband like L.P. James, who is mad. But in the case you need to have a shell, but dufu sa. But now we need to say a Zambian Kube. Obi na no di obi atama say. We to say Zambia coconut. And I'm going to share Zambia coconut. You know, Google. Any small design. Tell somebody, build your life on Christ. Build your life on Christ. Praise the Lord. We need to close. But the basics must be the basics. I think it's Timothy that said, is it 3:15? 2 Timothy 3:15. I'm looking for a scripture that says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Praise the Lord. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. When you are building your life on Christ, you should attain to this level that you will know the holy scriptures. You what? I can't hear you. As a child, if I add of God there, as a child of God, you should know what? If you don't know the holy scriptures as a child of God, you are not complete. Because you can really do nothing except the word, which is Christ. The word reveals Christ to you more and more and makes your faith richer and richer from grace to grace. As look, when you are in Christ, what you know is what shows up. What you know is what determines your capacity to endure. And they that endure to the end, they are the ones that shall be what? Saved. If prayer without scriptures is your foundation, when you are under pressure, you will go mad. Because when you are under pressure, what is inside you is what regulates you, not what you can pray. That's why you see prayerful people, when they are under pressure, a lot of them get depressed. especially if they don't know the living word, if it has not filled their heart, it's not written on the table of their heart, they crumble, they backslide, they leave God, they commit suicide, they give up. Are you here with me at all? They give up. Nothing will be talking inside. When you meet Satan, the word in you is what will speak to him, not your mind. Jesus met Satan. If Jesus met Satan, you meet him. Oh, you meet him everywhere in different shades. You and Satan, you are 4 and 5. Are you here with me at all? Look at the person by your side. Say, whether you like it or not, this year you must meet Satan. 4 and 5. You meet him in different places, different things. Your victory is your faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith is in Christ. That faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God over and over and over again. As a child, ye have known the scriptures, the holy scriptures, not foolish things. Holy scriptures, not unnecessary arguments. Don't go there. Holy scriptures, not debates, no fairy tales. No, you don't. It's not important. Know Jesus and him crucified. Holy scriptures. No, who was the wife of the first child of Adam? And how did they procreate? Did Cain sleep with the mother? Call those things. They don't matter. Do they matter? Stimulating yourself, going nowhere, tickling yourself and turning around as if you are becoming deep and wise. Don't you know that the Bible has a central truth? Don't you know that the Bible has a central figure? That figure is Christ. Central truth is redemption. If you don't know that, everything you are doing, you are walking in shadows, chasing shadows. Will you arrest a shadow? You and I, we don't read the word. We don't let the word be read to us. Now that you have a smartphone, the phone is smart enough to read the Bible. If you are here, you have a smartphone, Bible is not on it. I know what is on that phone. See, that Bible is there, or some cartoons is there. Sometimes the Bible is coexisting with some cartoons. But if the Bible is there enough, it will clear the some cartoons after a while. Say glory. I can't hear you. Say glory. And yeah, sorry, peace is soon. I see your moon project scripture. You could project it some cartoons. The peace in a containing scripture now, and once in a containing some cartoons. Sad, I don't know. Elder, no, and yeah, Homeda. Pepe, Pena, Sonny, and share things. Sister, brother, start with Christ every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. That is how you build your life with the mind on Christ. Are you here? Can you rise? The scripture I quoted, when you go read more, what you think? When I came from secondary school in Assemblies of God, there was student youth Sunday school. Sunday school starts before church starts. Student class. Then we have this English. Then you have adult English. Nkofu nim Bible be a no me champions or class. ye topic ne basana omo esua manual no omo ba omo be chiro ma journey from addition omo esua Saturday and I in the course of the week, no, when the year starts, we buy the Sunday school manual. There's a teacher's manual, and then there is the general manual that talks about the different weeks and the topics. Usiana waba Sunday school. Senia onsu ye bisawa ubenye biaka. Unkan free with trip. Come from wadisya. Today you know your makeup more than your Bible. You know the number of suit you have. You can't count the number of verses you can quote off head. No memory for any scripture. I'm supposed to be a Christian. Now we shall have somebody in our back. Pastor Francis say, oh, hini. Any pambro. Oh, dear, we are watching. Oh. Any pambra. Oh, nyaniba. This year is beyond one who offended Yansa one way. You have to build on what? Christ. Christ alone is the one who satisfies. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? This church will grow when we talk about Christ. Everything grows when it's about Christ. Others say we'll be teaching high things. When we bring it to Christ, Christ in you, you just have to close your eyes and ask yourself, right now, can I beat my chest that I have Christ? Is Christ my Savior? This is the first Sunday of the year. It's a great year God has given us. But first things first. Praise the Lord. I'd like you to soberly stand there and reflect on the message you have heard. And talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. I don't want to be a user. I come to church. I want to know you. I really want to know you. And I want the people around me also to know you. I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me. Show me your way. Let me encounter you. Paul said that I may know you. I want to know you. I want to build my life on you, in you. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to start my day, my year with you, and continue with you. Bako pata la baka pashata la. Rekopatas kalapapatas. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Please close your eyes.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.